If you would, turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, my subject tonight, the hammer. There are all types of hammers, and hammers are used for different things. This is a claw hammer. This is used for construction, where you build things with this. This is a machinist's hammer right here, and you just take and you beat a piece of metal flat. You turn it around this way. While it's hot, you just clip it off wherever you want to, but that's a machinist's hammer. And then this is a handheld sledgehammer. Sledgehammers come in different sizes, and they have different things, but this is made for destruction. Hallelujah. You tear stuff up with this. Pastor Ricky saw my sermon and illustrated it on, is the axe, has it lost its edge? And I had a bunch of axes up here. He said, you're going to have a bunch of hammers. I said, I'm going to have some hammers up there. But the sledgehammers get bigger and bigger. And tonight, I want to put a hammer in your hand. And I want to show you how to win the battles of life. This is a principle that I've used over and over again. And this principle has brought great victories into my life. God has given us some powerful weapons, and he's given us those weapons to ward off the attacks of the devil so we can come forth more than conquerors. We have the blood of Jesus. We have the name of Jesus. We have prayer. We have the power of the Holy Ghost. Those are some powerful weapons, but the most powerful weapon in our arsenal, it is the Word of God. The name of Jesus is a name above every name, but God has magnified his Word above all his name. Christ bore principalities and powers with the word. And if you want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, the word of God must dwell in your heart richly. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will. It shall be done unto you. There are no mountains that are not, that you cannot beat them down with the word of God. There are no rivers you cannot cross. There are no enemies that you cannot defeat. Look at Jeremiah 23:29. God said, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. I don't care how big the rock is, how massive the rock is. If you will pound at it, it will come down. I remember when I joined the United States Marine Corps in 1966, I came home the following year, bought a car, drove back through the Smoky Mountains, and I had to take the scenic route. I went, fought a war, came home. Went back in 1970 to California. They had gone in that mountainside. They had blasted it with jackhammers, dynamite, earth-moving equipment. They had cut an interstate highway, Interstate 40, right through that mountainside. There is no mountain that you cannot move. All things are possible to him that believes, and all things are possible with God. And tonight, I'm going to put a weapon in your hand. It's called the hammer. The word of God. Let us pray. Father, we love you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, for the anointed singing. Thank you, Lord, for the presence of your spirit. Lord, I need that anointing that comes only from the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Let my tongue be like that of the writer's pen. Let me preach your gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Lord, give us a listening ear. Let the word find its lodging in the hearts of people so your people can be everything that you purpose for them to be. You watch over your word to perform it. Now, Lord, let it go forth because at the entrance of your word, there is light. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I want you to picture the biggest problem in your life. The problem that causes you the greatest amount of stress. I want you to picture the problem that causes you the greatest amount of strain. I want you to look at it. I want you to visualize it. And I want you to see it as a large rock. It's big. It's massive. It's heavy. It's unbreakable. You can't break it. No man can break it. The doctors can't break it. The lawyers can't break it. No minister has ever been able to break this rock. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've tried, that rock, that mountain, it is still there, and it is just as big to you as it ever has been. The problem is still there. The rock is just as big as it's ever been. It torments your mind, and you have not been able to overcome it. I'm going to put a weapon in your hand tonight, and you will be able to overcome. Tonight, I want to place a hammer in your hand. This is a hammer where you can beat down and destroy the works of darkness. God said, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Look at that, Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like as a fire? God is fire from his loins down and fire from his loins up. And you will see that as this message progresses. Hallelujah. But tonight, I want to put that weapon in your hand, and this weapon will break that rock, that mountain, into small pieces. The hammer will work if you will use it. The hammer is the word of God. And if you will find the word of God for your problem and begin to pound away and pound away and pound away at that problem, that rock will crumble. Now, I want you to think back to when you first got saved, because there's a principle that you've got to understand if you're going to get the victories of life. What was it that broke the power of sin off of your life? What was it that broke that hard rock heart that rejected God? It was the word of God. It had been pounded and pounded and pounded into your heart. If you were brought up in the church, John 3:16 has been pounded and pounded and pounded into your heart over and over again. We know it by heart. We've heard it so much, preached and pounded and pounded. Let's look at it. Let's say it together, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That one verse right there has brought millions of people to the cross. Millions have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior because of that one verse of Scripture. Even the most hard-hearted sinner have found that the constant preaching and teaching and hearing and remembering John 3:16, it has broken the rock of sin. Somebody praise God. Hallelujah. The word in your heart and the word in your mouth, it will break any rock. I don't care how massive that rock is, no matter how big it is, no matter how long it has been there, no matter how it has stared you and mocked at you, if you will speak the word of God to it, that rock will crumble. Now, I want you to look at how you got saved. Look at Romans 10:8. I'm talking about the power of the word of God. Romans 10:8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. What kind of preacher are you? I'm a faith preacher. It is the word of faith that I preach. I'm not just preaching to get faith in your heart. I'm preaching to get faith in my heart and keep it there. Hallelujah. Because I know that whatsoever born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And if you got faith and I've got faith and we got the God-like faith and we'll start using it, we will see more and more of God's restoration and more of God's miracle working power in the midst of this church. Somebody go on and praise God. We're seeing great testimony. Now, how did you get saved? Look at Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Faith must be in two places. It must be hidden in your heart, and then you've got to decree what thus saith the Lord and speak it out of your mouth. See, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. You have a right standing with God. You're the righteous of God. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I don't want to just believe in salvation. I want to get unto it. I don't want to just believe in deliverance. I want to get unto it. I don't want to just believe in healing. I want to get unto it. I don't want to just believe in miracles. I want to get unto it. I don't want to just believe in prosperity. I want to get unto it. Am I preaching to somebody that wants to get unto it? Then go and praise God. He said restoration. Restoration is the word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to ask you a question. What brought about your salvation? And I'm going to answer it for you. It's the word of God. Did it work? Were you delivered from sin? When you believed it in your heart and confessed it with your mouth, were you saved? Did it break the rock of sin? Sure it did. And your salvation is based upon faith in the Word of God. And nobody can tell you that you're not saved and that your salvation is not real. Matter of fact, God said, I'll give you a little witness. He's called the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And you can know that you know and be sure that you're sure. And I love looking at these new converts in here because I see a glow on their face. They've gotten a hold of God, and God is changing their lives, and God is doing miracles. And the psalmist said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And they've had a taste, and they're coming back and coming back and coming back, coming to our connection dinners and joining the church and getting more and more involved all the time. Glory to God. His word is like a hammer that breaks the rock in peace. I don't care what that rock is you're facing. Praise God, the Word of God will beat it down if you will pound the Word against it. Now, most of you, you've heard my testimony. Some of you haven't. But I had a kidney stone, and that kidney stone had that I spoke to it, and I spoke to it, and I spoke to it, and I drove it out of my body with the Word of God. For 3 days, that thing hurt me. It tormented me. I would stand up and tears would come to my eyes. I went and I had people pray for me. But Jesus spoke to a fig tree, and Jesus said, I cursed that tree. And he said, if you'll say to your mountain, move, it will move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. I said, well, Jesus is a speaking being. He made me a speaking being. So I'll just speak to that stone. And my wife come in there. She said, Jerry, you going to lay down all that pain? I said, I don't know what I'm going to do the next time, but I know what I'm going to do this time. I got faith for this thing. I said, and if death starts at the top of my head and crawls down my body, if it starts at the tip of my toes and crawls up my body, I said, I am going to wait till God heals me. I've got faith and he's going to heal me. And I'm speaking to this thing. And I'll never forget it. She pointed her finger at me. She said, God couldn't help but heal a man that would trust him at a time like that. Glory to God. She released her faith on me. Now I got the prayer of agreement going up. I got my faith and her faith. God, he gives us a body so we don't have to fight our battles alone. He gives us husbands and wives and families so we can pray together and we can come forth more than a conqueror in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. But God is a good God. And shortly after that, when I passed that stone, it was a glob of fleshly tissue. Snot's not a pretty word, but it looked like snot. It was broken down, and I had a little strainer. The Lord spoke to me. He said, when they brought that man to Capernaum on that stretcher, and they tore the roof off, I looked up, and I saw the faith of those four men. When I told that man, your sins be forgiven, rise, take up your bed, and walk, he said that man was on his own faith. I got out of that bed. That stone cut me. Tears got in my eyes. I mean, I'm pretty tough, but the tears filled my eyes because that thing was hurting. I walked down those steps. I told my wife, I said, I'm healed. I said, Jesus just spoke to me, and I'm healed. I walked out of the kitchen, walked into the bathroom downstairs. I had a little strainer, a little funnel that had a strainer in it. When I urinated into it, I passed that glob. It was about that big. My wife is my witness. I said, look at that thing. I said, I spoke to it, and I spoke to it, and I spoke to it, and I spoke to it for 3 days, and I commanded it to break down. I commanded it to leave my body without pain. Look at that. It's gone. God has healed me. She's my witness. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. I tell you, the word is like a fire. It is like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. I'll never forget when I was preaching a revival near here. Some of the people here were in that revival. And I went and I preached Sunday morning. I preached Sunday night. I didn't have any credentials. I was just a lay preacher, having fun, preaching Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm glad for the credentials, but praise God, somebody, I said, God's got a great sense of humor. They even gave me a doctorate degree. I said, God, you got a wonderful sense of humor. But none of that matters. Do you have the word? Do you have the power? Do you have the anointing? Do you have the glory? Do you have the call on your life? Many are chosen, but many of few are chosen, many are sent. Amen. Some just go. Some never been sent. But God chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. And he chooses people like me. I said, dear God, he walked around a man with a PhD, walked around a lawyer, walked around some fine folks in the community, reached way over in the cesspool of sin and iniquity, laid his hand upon me and said, I choose you. And when he chose me, praise God, my life has never been the same. I've just had a wonderful time preaching Jesus. But I'll never forget during that revival that I preached near here, one of the people that went, they said, they don't want revival there. Said, those people don't want revival. Said, you just well to quit. I said, well, this was my first revival, and if I didn't understand the principle of the hammer, I probably would quit. I said, but I understand that the word of God is like a hammer. I said, I'm going to beat that wall. I'm going to beat that wall with the word of God. I'm going to beat it, and I'm going to beat it, and I'm going to beat it in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to beat that wall down. And I went, I preached Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Friday night, God gave me a message from the island to the altar. Every night, the preacher sat on the front row with his arms folded like that. Like, move me if you can. He just sat there and stared me down. But I just kept looking. My mother told me something a long time ago. She said, son, sometimes people, they're just going through so much. When you get up to sing, get up to preach, don't look at people. Just look over their head. Said, they got so many problems. Said, don't let them take the faith out of your heart. And I'm just operating on that principle. I'm just preaching, 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 preaching. Well, I preached from the island to the altar. I said, John was on the Isle of Patmos, but somehow John got in the spirit on the Lord's day. He said, I heard a voice that spake with me. I turned to see the voice that spake, and being turned, I saw one like the Son of Man. Said his hair was white like wool. His eyes were like a flame of fire. Said he was girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His feet were like fine brass if they burn in the furnace. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as one that was dead. He said, he laid his hand upon me and said, John, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of hell. Hallelujah. John said, I saw him. I witnessed him. And he wrote the book of Revelation. And I said, John didn't die on that island. John didn't have anybody to sing him happy. John didn't have anybody to preach him happy. But somehow, John made a transition that day. He got in the spirit on the Lord's day. Hallelujah. And he saw Jesus, the ruling, reigning monarch of glory. Hallelujah. And it changed his life forever. He got off his island. And the preacher came up when I finished my sermon. He said, brother, I'm the man on the island. And I prayed for him. His son had leukemia. I prayed for his son the following night that had leukemia. God healed that boy of leukemia. He's still healed today of leukemia. A man came. Revival broke out. Jimmy Scott's daddy was there. He got saved. He's in heaven today because of that one revival. But God broke out because his word is like a fire. You got to have some fire. The effectual fervent prayer, heated prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And if you'll get full of the Holy Ghost and the fire of God, eyes not seen, ears not heard. It's not even entered the hearts of man, the things God has prepared for those that love him. Do you love him? Then go on and praise him for the wonderful works he's already done in your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. His word is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. You know, shortly after that incident there with the kidney stone, I heard Ray A. Hughes up preaching a sermon, a great Church of God preacher. And old brother Ray, he would quote scriptures like a machine gun. He said, God said, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. I got my Bible out. I looked that up. I said, I didn't know that was in the Bible, but that was the principle that I was operating on. The Holy Ghost brought that to me and told me, hammer away, hammer away, hammer away. And when I got the scripture for it, I memorized that. I encourage you, when God gives you a victory, get the scripture for it. Go back, memorize his word, hide his word in your heart, speak it forth out of your mouth, and watch God watch over that word to perform it. Hallelujah. Now, most of you remember when I was struggling for my health. Back in 2008, the doctors found out that I had two arteries that were 95% blocked. I had two arteries that 100% blocked. I've been going to the doctor for 10 or 12 years doing stress tests ever since I was 50. I was 62 at the time, and I would smoke that stress test. Nothing showed up. And so the doctor said, I'll look at it myself. He said, that might be a little glitch right there. I'm not sure. Well, they sent me to Wake Hospital for a catheterization, and I had two arteries 100% blocked, two 95% blocked. That doctor said, you're a walking miracle. Said, if you had a heart attack, said, you wouldn't get another chance. Said, your heart would explode. Nobody knows it but my wife. I would get in the pulpit. I would preach on Sunday morning. I would go home. I would rest. I would get as much strength as I could in my body. I would come back and preach again. I was working my job. I was doing all of that with all of that blockage in my heart. I had no energy, but I said, God's word is true. I will preach it. I will teach it. I will do what the word of God says. It will bring forth of itself. Hallelujah. And so they went into my heart. They operated on my heart. And, you know, I found out later that I had other problems. And, you know, after I had struggled and fought the battle to regain my health, it seemed like that when I would win one battle, then I would have another battle to fight. But let me tell you something. I know this from experience. When you are constantly pounded and pounded and pounded with a problem, it will wear you down. You are in a natural body. Don't let your spirit man get worn down. That's what I'm trying to say. Someone called me several years ago, and they told me, said, Pastor, I've got a book on healing hindering spirits, and I want you to read that book. You need to read it. Well, I read one section of it, and it was a book by Perry Stone on dealing with hindering spirits. And I read that book, and once I read one section, I read about how Satan had attacked him with depression and oppression, and how he was driving him down all of the time by continually attacking him. He thought, I have fought this battle before, and I'll just have to fight this one through. He said he was too embarrassed to tell anyone about his struggle. He said, I was too embarrassed to tell my wife about my struggle. He said deliverance began when he made a decision to reveal the attack of the devil. He told his wife, and then in a prayer meeting, he revealed his struggle to others and asked them that were present to pray for him. Well, when he finished that, a lady came up to him and said, you did it, you did it, you did it. He can't hide anymore. He said, who can't hide anymore? She said, Satan can't hide anymore. Said, as long as we never expose him, what he is doing in darkness, he will just continue to do it. But once we expose him to the light, he has nowhere to hide. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? See, you can hide your cigarettes, you can hide your booze, you can hide your porn, you can hide your drugs, but as long as you hide it, you cannot be delivered. But once you bring it to the light, the blood of Jesus Christ and the light of God's word will cleanse you from all sin. Somebody go and praise God, because you've already experienced the cleansing power of God. Hallelujah. Now, when I read that book, I knew that God was speaking to me. And I told my wife, the battle that I'm fighting, it is a spiritual battle, and I recognize it. I was having the very same problems that Perry Stone had written about in that book. It was an attack from the enemy, discouragement, oppression, depression. And they were draining my energy out of me. Then I told my wife, I said, Teresa, sweetheart, I need for you to pray for me. Help me pray. See, church, I realized something. We need one another. Even Moses had Aaron and her to hold up their hands, his hands, until the battle was over. Church, we are a body. We need one another's prayers. And God never intended us for us to have to fight our battles alone. That's why every year I begin at the first of the year with 21 days of prayer and fasting. As your pastor, I am not going to stand back and watch you fight your battles alone. I've got faith. You've got faith. We've got faith. And when we put our faith together, there's a thing called the prayer of agreement. Put Matthew 18:19 up there, if you will. Matthew 18:19. Help them find it there. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them by the Father which is in heaven. Find somebody that can pray a prayer of agreement with you. Matthew 18:19. I want the people to see it. Hallelujah. We're training new people, but that's all right. We take time for the Word of God. The Word of God is the most important thing I can give you. Matthew 18:19. Jesus said, again, I say unto you, the two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything. Say anything. Anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. God is a good God. You know, that day I came to church that following night, and I got the body of Christ. I said, I want you to pray with me. I began to use what God had put in my life. I was using the Word of God, but I know that there is an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person, and we need one another. And if I'm going to help you fight your battles, there are going to be times I need for you to help me fight my battle. You don't have any idea what it means to me when I'm talking to somebody. We're praying for you, Pastor. We pray for you every day, Pastor. We're praying for you. I need your prayers. Paul, even the great apostle, he said, pray for me. There are many adversaries. That's all right, but there's one God. Hallelujah. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Three in one and one in three, and the one in the middle, he died for me. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. Go on, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Later, I got a book that came in the mail. God will get you a word. Teresa got it before I got home, and she read the thing. She said, Jerry, this is a message from God to you. You need to read it. I said, well, what's the message? She said, it's a message from H.T. Reynolds. He's in heaven now. And she said, it's a message on a hammer. I said, I already know about the hammer. I guarantee you, I know the text that he's using. It's Jeremiah 23:29. Put it up there. Jeremiah 23:29 is not my word like as the fire, saith the Lord. I like that. Saith the Lord. Not saith the pastor. Saith the Lord. And like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. I said, I already know about that. She said, that's right. But this is a powerful message. See, God will put a helpmate to help you, a friend. She said, you need to hear it. This is a message from God, and this is a message for you. And when I read that letter, I knew once again God was speaking to me. That evening we came to the Friday night prayer meeting, and I told the people, I said, I need for you to pray for me. I'm in a battle. I need your prayers. And it was then that the power of darkness was broken. God had sent me a prophetic word. But it was up to me to use the hammer, God's word, and begin to use it and use it and pound and pound and pound away at the enemy. I looked at the scriptures that were listed in that book. I told my wife, I said, I don't have to look those up. I said, I know every one of those scriptures. I know what they say. I know where they are in the Word of God. I've memorized those. I am armed and I am ready. All I've got to do is decree what God said. I put me a list of healing scriptures together. I walked the walking track. I walked and I walked and I said it and I said it. I quoted the Word of God. I said it and then I said it again and I spoke it and I spoke it again and I said it and I said it again and I kept on walking. I kept on saying it. I just kept on saying it. Finally, I said, devil, I know you're tired of hearing it because I'm tired of hearing it, but I'm going to wear you out with the Word of God. And I just pounded and pounded and pounded away at that sickness, and I pounded and I pounded and I pounded and I said it and I said it and I spoke it and I spoke it. And I kept on speaking and I kept on saying it. Have you got that much tenacity about you? Do you believe that God's word will bring forth of itself? Will you decree it and speak it and cause that mountain to move? I'm trying to get a weapon into your hand. Jesus said, since the days of John the Baptist until the day the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Put Matthew 11:12 up there. Since the day of John, Matthew 11:12, since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. There are some things that you're going to have to take by force. Matthew 11:12. Not 22, 11:12. Matthew 11:12. And from the days, what did I say? Okay, I thought I had it right. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, I get in the ballpark, I guarantee you that. And I tell the devil, I said, if I can't quote where it is, I guarantee you I can quote it. Hallelujah. Since the days of John Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. I'm trying to get a warrior anointing into you. Get that warrior spirit. You cannot be passive and say, que sera, sera, whatever will be, the devil will run over you. But if you'll stand up in the name of Jesus, having done all to stand and see the salvation of the Lord, and the word of God will bring forth of itself. Somebody go on and praise God. Hallelujah. But I knew that victory was mine when I began to quote those scriptures. Well, you say, well, Pastor, if it was that easy, then everybody would do it. No, that's not true. Most Christians will not do what I'm saying. Most Christians want someone to lay hands on them. Most Christians want someone to pray the prayer of faith and solve all of their problems. I'm a pastor, I know. But my job is not to solve your problems. My job is to equip you and bring the word of God. I am to teach, I am to preach, and I am to heal the sick in the name of Jesus. And signs and wonders follow those that believe. And this is a believing church. And we're seeing some great things because we believe the word of God. And I'm equipping you and getting a hammer into your hand so that you can beat down those walls that the devil has tried to put there. You can beat that mountain and beat it and beat it and beat it and pound upon it and pound upon it day after day, night after night. Until you get your victory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You know, most of the Israelites, they did not enter the promised land. They died in the wilderness. And Christians that are not willing to fight the battles of life through, they are going to die in the wilderness. Amen. Most Christians give up. And they give up just short of the victory. Now, I thought back to how I've won my battles. In 2010, they checked my heart again and found out I had a problem. They told my wife, said, we got to go back in his heart. They sent me a letter, said, we're going back in his heart. And they were going to decide what they were going to have to do, the procedure. And I was on my way somewhere. I said, God, I wasn't expecting that. I said, it takes faith to please you, and I have faith. I believe that you will heal me. And God spoke to me. And God said, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my glory. He said, glory. I came home from that meeting, my wife Teresa, you've heard my stories, hallelujah. But it's all connected to the miracle. And I walked in the back door, and she said, I've got a word for you. I keep this in my Bible. She said, you need to read it. Isn't it amazing how she keeps telling me I need to read the word of God? It's because she understands the power of the word. We live this thing in our house. It must become a lifestyle. You need to get out of the front of that television at times and get into your Bible and start praying and start seeking God and start decreeing, thus saith the Lord, and get the victories that God has already purposed for your life. This is not some tiptoe through the tulip or Sunday school picnic. This is warfare. We're in a war and we're wrestling flesh, not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. Suit up. Put on the whole armor. Put it all on. Put Jesus on from head to toe. Hallelujah. But she, listen to this. Fear not. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your home. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Because you have loved me, I will deliver you. You will call upon me, I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will rescue and honor you. I said, where is that in the Bible? She said, it's Psalms 91. I said, open the Bible, get a King James Version. I said, and go read the next verse after that. I guarantee you, I hadn't memorized it. I know all of Psalm 91 now, all 16 verses. I like to lay in the bed and quote it. Hallelujah. This is who I am. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord. I got a mouth. I will say of the Lord. He is my refuge. You got to say. He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noise and pestilence. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand. It shall not come nigh thee. Hallelujah. I will say of the Lord, he shall do. I will say, he shall do. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I shall say, he shall do. I shall say, he shall do. Hallelujah. But we went back for that catheterization. They went into my heart. Thank you, darling. Hallelujah. They went back in my heart, and they told my wife, said, we were shocked when we looked at your husband's heart. Said, two of those bypasses we did shut in. Said, but that man's heart has bypassed itself with collateral arteries. He has excellent blood flow. We don't need to stent him. We don't need to do anything. That was the process where I began to see miracles of restoration. And then God called us through Prophet Paul Jackson last year and said, I got one word for you, restoration. Now we're living it out. What I'm trying to tell you is the victories that are in your life. There are other people. They are connected to the victories that you get. And when you come forth more than a conqueror, when daddy gets saved, when mama gets saved, the whole family will get saved and everybody will start walking. You've got authority. You've got a say. And when you start saying what God says and find God's promises and start decreeing it, you will come forth more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Now, I want to ask you a question. If I were to place a huge stone in your yard and say there's a diamond in the center of that stone, and that diamond is valued at $1 million. And I placed the hammer in your hand. And I said, I want you to take this hammer. And I want you to break that rock in pieces. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you a bigger hammer than this. Most people would go out there and they'd hit it. Well, nothing happened. They would hit it again. They knew, that man knew I was too weak to break that stone. They would hit it maybe another time and say, it's impossible. He knew it was impossible for me to break that stone in the first place. And then most people, they would lay the hammer down. They would walk into the house. They would sit down and they would live in poverty with $1 million in their front yard. I'm telling you something, the violent take it by force. And that's what most Christians are doing today. They just sit back and they do not do what the Word of God says. You have authority. You have the power of the Word. You have the power of the blood. You have the name of Jesus. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and high thoughts and everything that would exalt itself against the knowledge of the Word of God. This is the Word of God. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. And say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Not some things, but all things. Hallelujah. Now, I read the story in that book about the hammer. Reverend Reynolds discovered some water in his basement. So he decided to break up that cement and to install a drain. And he got himself a 5 or 6 or 7 pound sledgehammer, one bigger than this one, and he began to beat on it. And he swung and he swung and he swung. And finally, he was just exhausted, you know. And he pounded the cement and pounded away. And he had just about decided to give up on his project when he said, I'm going to hit that thing one more time. And he took that sledgehammer, he drew back, and with all his might, he came down and he hit the cement. And when it did, the hammer, it just sort of popped back up off the floor. But he looked down and he noticed a small crack in the cement. That's when he really began to pound away. Hallelujah. And then he saw a small hole appear. And after that, the rest of the work was no real problem. He almost gave up before it happened. But he just kept pounding and pounding and pounding. And he tore all that cement out of that basement, put that drain in there. and finished his project. See, it's the same thing with the Word of God. You will be tempted to give up. It will look like that you're doing no good at all. It will look like nothing is happening. Everything might look the same. But if you will keep pounding and pounding and pounding the Word of God like a hammer, that rock will break in pieces. See, it's easy for people to live and go by their feelings. It's easy for people to lean to their own understanding. It's easy for people to depend upon the arm of the flesh. The problems that we face in life, they are real. See, faith never denies the facts. Faith always demands a change. God's word is true. It is like a hammer. It breaks the rock in pieces. So don't lose your victory by laying your hammer down. Hallelujah. Now, I'm lying in the bed. I thought I had finished this sermon. And the Lord spoke to me. I love it when God speaks to me. And I want to summarize this because God gave us the word restoration in 2018, and we've seen it. But God says, there's so many more things I want to do in your midst. And I'm riding through the neighborhood over here just meditating, and God says, I've got so much more I want to do. I want you to expect more. See, expectation is really faith. And if you will expect God to move in your situation, if you will pound the word of God away long enough, that rock will move and you will get your victory. See, how does God move? What moves the hand of God? Have you ever wondered? You know, we talk about prayer all the time. I'll tell you what God does. God watches over his word to perform it. That's how God moves right there. And you're going to have to become a student of the word if you want to win the battles of life. Have you got a child that is lost? Get the word on salvation. Start speaking it. Start decreeing it over that child. Every one of mine have come in. Have you got one that's sick? Start speaking the word. I've spoken the word, spoken the word, spoken the word. Y'all heard little Sophie's testimony? I found out she had the flu. I said, Grand Jerry's going to pray for you. Cooperate with me and God will heal you. Got up the next day healed. Hallelujah. My little Anna Lee, she called me. She said, that's my 4-year-old. She said, Grand Jerry, I'm sick. I need for you to pray for me. So I prayed for her. She got up the next morning. Her daddy was still sick. She said, Grand Jerry prayed for me and I'm healed. Said, you ought to ask Jesus to heal you. I mean, a 4-year-old testifying like that. Bring a child up in the way of the Lord and it'll get down in their spirit and get violent. Praise God. And tell the devil, you're not having my family. You're not having anything. You're not having my health. You're not having my wealth. What you've taken from me, I found out you're a thief and you've got to return it 7 times. Glory to God. Get violent. The violent take it by force. Now, I want to show you something. It may not be a revelation to you, but it was to me. I want you to go with me to Genesis 1 and 1. I want you to see this thing right here. Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, I want you to notice that the first day, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, I want you to drop down to Genesis 1 and 16 with me, because this is powerful, what I'm fixing to show you. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Wow. God calls the things that be not as though they were. God said, let there be light on the first day. And there was light. Hallelujah. But God did not create the sun, the greater light, nor the moon, the lesser light, nor the stars to rule over the night until the fourth day. The Bible says he made the stars also. What I'm trying to tell you is God is an extravagant God. Hallelujah. And when God gets to creating, God just keeps right on creating. When God gets to moving in your life, God just keeps right on moving. He's an extravagant God. And he'll bring you out of poverty into wealth. He'll bring you out of sickness into health. He'll bring you out of the mully grubs into victory. Hallelujah. He's prepared great things for your life. When God gets to moving, if you will move with God, if you will take the word of God, God calls the things that be not as though they were. God is a speaking being, and God wants us to speak forth the word of God, because it's living, it's powerful, and it will bring over of itself, because God watches over the word to perform it. God is a speaking being. God made us in his image, and he makes us speaking beings so we can say what God says. Now I want you to watch this. Look at Isaiah 57:19. Pastor Ricky finished his message the other night when God spoke this to me. He had already quoted another scripture. But look at Isaiah 57:19. God said, I create the fruit of the lips. You see that? Peace, peace to him that is afar off, to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. God said, you want to get healed? Get my word. Start saying what my word says about healing. I create the fruit of the lips. Now, I want you to look at Jeremiah 30:17. For I will restore health unto thee and heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Not saith the preacher, saith the Lord. God said, I will restore health unto thee and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Are you with me? Now, I want you to look at my text, Jeremiah 23:29. God said, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Do you see it? Isaiah 57:19, I create the fruit of the lips, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 30:17, I will restore health unto thee, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. See, God is a speaking being, and he made us speaking beings. He is a spirit. We are a speaking spirit. Our spirit has been born again. We have the Holy Ghost inside of us. The greater one lives inside of us. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. No weapon formed against you shall ever prosper. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. This is the whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. Somebody gonna praise God for the faith that God has given you. Hallelujah. Now I want you to watch Jesus. I'm going back to Wednesday night, Pastor Ricky's sermon. Watch Jesus, the man. Jesus, the God man, as Jesus begins to talk about mountain moving faith. You got any mountains that seem immovable? Stop pounding the word of God at it. Keep on pounding. Keep on pounding. Now, watch this. Mark 11:22. Jesus answered, saying unto them, have faith in God. The literal translation is this. Have the God-like faith. Jesus said, I want you to have the God-like faith. What kind of faith did God have? God said, let there be light. And there was light. Whatever God said, it was so. And God is a speaking spirit. We're speaking spirits created in God's image so we can speak forth the word of God. And if you will take the principle that I'm teaching tonight and begin to speak to your mountain, I don't care how massive it is. I have used this principle over and over again, and I have watched God bring me forth and my family forth and people I prayed for. I've watched God bring them forth time and time again. That thing got into my spirit when I had that kidney stone. I've never had another one since then. I can't tell you the number of people I've prayed for. And their victory was connected to my victory. And I've seen God heal them. I'll never forget my son. He had asthma. They said, you got asthma. You'll have asthma for the rest of your life. I said, you can't have asthma and live in my house. I won't let you have asthma and live in my house. And I prayed for that boy. He's 42 years old now. He's never had asthma since then. Praise God. God healed him. God watches over his word. If you'll pound the word of God, it will work. I cannot tell you the little people. I was talking to Greg Hughes the other day. I said, your son had asthma and you brought him into the prayer line at the old church and I praised for him and God healed him. I said, does he have asthma today? He said, no, he's never had another problem with asthma. I was in Bulgaria preaching the word of God and they brought kid after kid after kid that had asthma. I said, bring them all. Go out and get them. Bring them in. I've got power over that thing in Jesus' name. You just got to know that you know, and you got to be sure that you're sure. When God gives you a gift, use it. Praise God. He's given you the gift, the word of God. Now I want you to see this. Jesus said, have faith in God. Have the God-like faith. Whosoever, next verse, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, this is Jesus talking, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. See, God made us a speaking being created in his own image so we could move any mountain with the word of God. So speak to your mountain and command it to move. If you believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth, your mountain will move. It does not matter how big it is. It does not matter what it is. It does not matter how massive it is. It does not matter how long it's been there. It will move and nothing shall be impossible to you because God watches over his word to perform it. Hallelujah. Jesus is the light of the world. This really set me on fire right here. He was the light on that first day. He is the Logos. He is the eternal word of God. He's the light of the world. He will be the light throughout all eternity. And when he said, let there be light, boom, he called the things that be not as though they were on the first day, and light appeared. But on the fourth day, he created the sun, the greater light, and the moon, the lesser light, to rule the night. He made the stars also, because our God is an extravagant God. When he gets to moving, God just keeps right on moving. And Jesus will be the light in eternity. Put Revelation 21:23 up there. It's speaking of the new Jerusalem. John said, I saw that city coming down. He said it had all kind of precious stones on it, in it. And said it had 12 gates. And he said, oh, what a beautiful city it was. Streets of pure transparent gold. Walls of jasper, gates of pearl. Hallelujah. And that city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Jesus is the light. Hallelujah. He wants to light your fire. He wants to light your world. He wants to give you revelation knowledge. He wants to show you things to come. Hallelujah. Now, I said it earlier, we fasted 21 days at the first of the year. So you would not have to fight your battles alone. We do this every year. I'm not going to sit back and watch people struggle and struggle and struggle. God showed me preachers years ago in their little prayer closet praying. And I've tried my best to get preachers to pray and to seek God. They were struggling and struggling and struggling. And I've hosted prayer meeting after prayer meeting for them. But tonight I put a hammer in your hand. The answer to your problem is the word of God. Some rocks may be larger than others, but no rock can stand the pressure if the pressure is great enough and long enough. The rock will crumble if you will hammer away at that problem with the word of God. The answer is the word of God. Find it. Search it out. Use it. Allow it to become a part of you. Wake up every morning confessing the word of God out of your mouth, speaking to that problem. Confess it over and over during the day. Confess it during the night when you can't sleep. Who can do it? You can do it, because God made you a speaking being. You and the word of God, I want to tell you and encourage you, you are a majority. Search it, read it, quote it, learn it, believe it. It will break the rock. Because Jesus is the word. Jesus is the hammer. And he will break that rock in pieces, and it will crumble right before your eyes. And you will come forth more than a conqueror. I put a weapon in your hand tonight. God said, it's not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. I can pray for you. I can help you. As a church, we can pray for you. But you must speak to your mountain. You must talk to it. Your mountain knows your voice. And your mountain will obey your voice. When you speak the word of God in the name of Jesus with the anointing of the Holy Ghost, let us stand.
There is power.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. There is power. Break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. There is power.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus.
That words were found. And I did eat
there
them.
Is power.
Thy word was unto me
in the, name
the joy
of
and rejoicing
Jesus.
Of my heart. For I am called
to break every chain,
by thy name.
To break every
O Lord God of hosts.
Break every chain.